This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد الحمد لله that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us here. Many of you maybe have seen me before, and probably most of you have not. And maybe probably when you saw me, you might have said, are we in the right room? Are we learning Taekwondo or Islam over here somewhere? But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us, given us the greatest ni'mah, the greatest blessing, which is the blessing of Islam. And there are many blessings in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And all these blessings, you have to understand, are trusts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which obligates us to be thankful and grateful. So in order for us to be thankful and grateful, we have to use these blessings to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, amongst the greatest blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, He's given us Islam and He's given us also life. And the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, this life in this world, it's a great blessing. And it's a responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. But it is not eternal. And it will end. And it is very short in comparison to the hereafter. When you compare anything to the hereafter, it equals nothing. For those who have studied mathematics, arithmetics, it's very simple. When you compare anything to eternity, no matter how large that number is, it's zero. You cannot compare anything to eternity. Anything, no matter if it's a million, 2 million, 3 million years, it doesn't matter how long that is. Anything compared to eternity is zero. And that's why the true life is the life in the hereafter. But yet this life is very important because it will determine the type of life you have in the hereafter. The true life is the true life in the hereafter. And when we read the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us and tells us what the disbelievers and the sinners will say. And how they are going to be regretful, and they will say, Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. Woes to me. Woe to me. If only I had brought forth for my life. And that's why the true life is the life in the hereafter. So we have to take advantage of this life to, in order for us to enjoy and have the blessings of eternal life and eternal happiness in the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a companion, this hadith from Jabir ibn Abdullah, and he was admonishing him and warning him and teaching him. And he said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Take advantage of five things before five things come. شبابك قبل حرمك. Your youth before old age. And then he said, وصحتك قبل مرضك قبل سقمك. And your health before you become sick. وَغِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِكَ. And your wealth before you become poor. And he said, وَحَيَاتِكَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكَ. And your life before death comes and before you die. And so this life, the true life of course is a life in the hereafter. But this life is the life in which you would, in which if you are to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, then you have the eternal happiness in the hereafter. And you have to be, first of all, be thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you life. Because first of all, none of us chose to be here. It wasn't our choice. And none of us, ourselves, we did not, when we were born, we did not choose our parents. We did not choose where we were born, or where, or how, or what place we were born. And so, this is something that to begin with, we have to be thankful for, because at the beginning we were nothing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Did it not come to people? Before you were nothing at all. You weren't even anything mentioned. In other words, you were nothing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you life. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this life, this life is a test for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this life as a test for us. Life and death has been, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created life and death in order to see which amongst us are best in deeds. To test us, who amongst us is best in deeds. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also made death an unknown, something that's unknown. Nobody knows when they will die. And so, when you're living in this life, you have to prepare for that all the time. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in hadith, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ. Be in this life as if you are a stranger or a wayfarer. Be in this life as if you're a stranger or a wayfarer. Reflect and think about this hadith. What is the Prophet ﷺ trying to tell us? Think about yourself when you're a stranger in a foreign land. When you have something to do and you just want to finish your job and then go back home. When you are away, how do you feel? Where's your heart? Where is your mind? Your mind is with your family, your spouse, your children, your friends, the place where you grew up. You just want to finish your business and go back home quickly. So you're always thinking about them and you miss them. And that's how a traveler is also. عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ, also a traveler and somebody who just, you know, wayfarer. And you can also say, if a person is crossing the street, for example, if you want to get to the other side, you start from the side where you're at, and your objective is the other side. That's where you want to go. It would be foolish for somebody to intend to cross, they knew that they had to go and get to the other side, but to build a house in the middle. In the middle of the street, what would happen if you just stood there and you said, you know what, I'm going to build something in the middle of the street right here, middle of the motorway. What would happen? All these cars would come, it would run over. They would call you foolish. You want to get to the other side, get to the other side. And so, in this life, we are all travelers. And eventually it will end. But the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us is very, very important. Because it will determine our end. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this life, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. When you live in the afternoon or the evening, then don't wait, don't think, before you go to sleep, don't think you're going to live till the morning. And when you wake up in the morning, don't think you're going to live until the afternoon. You should always be thinking about the life in the hereafter. So you would always be prepared. You will always be prepared for that, and take advantage of the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And every one of us, as travelers, if we want to do something in this life, we should always be thinking about whether that particular thing is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us on this earth for a reason. And we have to know that purpose. Everything in this world, when you look around in this world, everywhere that you look, you'll see objects. Every object that you see has an objective. You look at a chair and you say, what is a chair for? And you can say, well, it's for sitting. When you're tired, you sit down and rest. Well, what is a car for? A car is so that you can get in it and it'll bring you from place to place. Well, what's a spoon for? It's so you can eat. But what are you for? What are you for? There's a reason why you're here. And that reason is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created the jinn and mankind except for my worship. So the purpose for our creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the time that we have, we should be worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And worshiping Allah isn't just prayer and fasting and zakat and so forth. Worshiping Allah is doing all that you can to please Allah and staying away from all that which displeases Allah. So if I am going to, if I'm going to be nice to my parents, help out my parents, that is pleasing to Allah, and thus that is considered worship. If I fear Allah, that is something that pleases Allah. So that is something that's considered worship. If I hope in Allah, that is also pleasing to Allah. So that's considered worship. If I'm going out to work to take care of my family and fulfill this obligation and responsibility that is on my shoulders, then this is considered pleasing to Allah. And so it's considered worship in itself. That's because you, if you have that intention, it will be considered worship. And so everything that you do, when you want to do something, ask yourself, is it pleasing to Allah or not? Because if you are doing things that are pleasing to Allah all the time, then you do not worry when death will come. Because whenever death comes, you know that you're in a state in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. And so when death comes, if you're always trying to do every single step that you take, you ask yourself, is this pleasing to Allah? If it is, then you go forward. If it is not, you take a step back. But if you are doing that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it really doesn't matter when death comes to you. And you have to understand that when death comes, people will regret the time that they waste. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Munafiqun, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ And spend from that which we have given you in terms of provisions before death comes to one of you. So when death comes, what happens? What is it that you want when death comes? When death comes, the angel of death has taken the soul that everybody wants to return back. Wants to return to this life. Why? So that you can say your final farewells to your parents? So that you can take that last vacation? So that you can buy your dream car? No, they will want to come back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَيَقُولُ And He will say, رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ Oh my Lord, bring me back just a short amount of time. And what do they want to do? فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ So that I can give, so that I can spend in your way, in your sake, and become amongst those who are righteous. And that's what the people who have passed away want. And the people who have died, those people in the grave, they want to come back. They want to come back because they have seen the value of ibadat, the value of prayer. They know the true value of all of these things that we ourselves don't know the true value of. And they have seen it. And so when it does come, that person will want to return to this world. And he will want to return to this world to just pray two rak'ahs. Just pray two rak'ahs. But he will not be able to. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a grave. And he said, Man sahibu hadha al-qabr? He said, who is the person that's in this grave? And so they said, such and such person. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rak'atan ahabbu ila hadha min baqiyat dunyakum. He said, just two rak'ahs is more beloved to this person than everything in your world, in this worldly life. Everything, all the cars, all the houses next to the beachfront houses, the luxury cars, all the money in the world, all the gold and silver and jewelry, it is nothing to him. He would prefer to pray just two rak'ah in place of that. Give me time to pray two rak'ahs, and he doesn't want anything else, just that. But you know what? Everyone in the grave right now, everybody in the grave right now, they would give everything and anything that they have, if they could, to just come back a few moments to worship Allah. Just a few moments. But you know what? Everything that they want, we have right now. All the millions and millions of people that have passed away and buried under the earth now, every one of them, they want to come back. They want to be in every single one of our shoes so that they can say Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, and stand up to pray. Two rak'ahs are worth more than anything. But death has already come to them. And it's too late. But you know, with us, it's not too late. With us, it's not too late. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rak'atan khafifatan. Just two light rak'ah. Mimma tahqiruna. For amongst the rak'ah that you belittle. You think that this is just two rak'ahs. Two light rak'ahs. What tatanafalun? Meaning the things that you do extra. And these deeds, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, amongst his deeds, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ بَقِيَةِ دُنْيَاكُمْ. It's more beloved to him. Just two light rak'ahs. It's more beloved to him than to the people of the grave than everything that you have. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity. And we know there is not a single person on the face of this earth that will say he can live forever. Everyone knows that death will come. It's the certainty. There's no cure for death. There's no cure for death, and there will not be a cure for death. There will not be a cure for death. Some of these people, they're thinking, they're putting their, you know, some of them, they, you read in the news, right? A person passes away, and they freeze their whole body, you know, for many years, hoping that maybe, in the future, somebody will find a cure for death. But you know, there will not be a cure for death. There's no cure for death, and there will not be a cure for death. And so everybody knows that death will come. But the thing is, we don't know when death will come. Death does not come to only the people who are sick. Sometimes you're healthy and it comes. Death does not care if you have to take care of your family. You can't say when the angel of death comes, well, who's going to take care of my family? He doesn't, the angel of death, when he's ordered to take your soul, he's not going to say, oh, you got family. I got, all right, let me go back and check out and see if we can retract that, you know, this decree. And death does not care if you're graduating next year. Death does not care if you still have payments to make. Death does not care if you still have to take care of your mother. Death does not care if you haven't gotten married yet. And death does not care if you didn't make Hajj yet. And death does not care if you didn't say goodbye to your father yet. When it comes, it comes. And you don't know when it comes. And that's why at any moment in time, when you are living in this world, you have to prepare for it. Because when it comes, it's too late. You will want to come back to do the two rakas that you should have been doing, but you will not be able to. You will want to come back. They will. All of them will want to come back. When death comes, what will they say? The people, when death comes to them, they will want to come back. So لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ, so that I can do good deeds in the time that has already passed. And when death comes, death isn't something that's easy neither. It's something that's difficult. It's hard. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, when in the final moments of his life, he used to wipe his forehead and put water, and he would say, La ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti la sakarat. La ilaha illallah. Indeed, death has its throes. Death has its pains. And this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so every single day that you waste your time, it will not come back. And even the people of Jannah, they were never regretful. The only thing that they will be regretful about is the time that they did not spend in the worship of Allah in this life. They're thinking, if only they could have increased in the time that they're there. And of course, the people of the hellfire and the people of the grave. So all of the people in the future, they will want to be, and those right now in the grave, they want to be in our shoes. If they could talk to you right now, if they could talk to us right now, then we will see. And you know, during the time of the Prophet, during the time of Bani Israel, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us of a hadith. He said, a group of three people, they walked by a grave. And they said, Oh Allah, if only you can bring this person back so that we can ask him how death is. You know, how death feels, what it feels like. And you know, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it happen. A guy just popped out of his grave, came out of his grave. I think if I saw something like that, I might be running away, but a guy just comes out of his grave. But they just made this dua, and so a guy comes out of his grave. So the person that came out had the athar sujood, he had signs of sujood on his forehead, which means, what type of person is this? This is a righteous person. This is a righteous person. He has the athar sujood, the signs, the marks because of his sujoods that he used to make in this life. And so he comes up and the people are asking him, he's astonished. Why is he up again? And alive now. And so they tell him that they just made dua and see how death was. And so he said, let me tell you. I've been in the grave for about 100 years. 100 years. And just now, the heat of that grave has just lessened for me. This is somebody who's pious over 100 years. So for us, next time, if you have the opportunity, go and visit the graves. Don't go and visit the graves and make tawaf and things like that. No. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا إِنِّي كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةُ الْقُبُورِ. Indeed, I used to forbid you from visiting the graves. Why did the Prophet ﷺ visit them, prohibited them? Because he wanted them to be strong, their tawheed to be firm first, so that they wouldn't be in the graves doing things that are wrong, asking the people in the grave and so forth. So he said, before I used to forbid you, but now go. فَزُورُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْآخِرَةِ. Because it reminds you of the hereafter. So visit, make time to visit the grave. Because you're going to be that person in there. You will not, everyone will be there eventually. And visit the people who are sick, so you'll know the blessings of health. And visit the people who have less than you and help them out so that you can be appreciative of the ni'mah, the blessing that you have. And make use of the time. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, I had never regretted anything except for on the day, my regrets came upon me if a day went by, the sun set, and I knew that my life had decreased a few days by a day, and I didn't increase in my good deeds. And so you have to, before you go to sleep, make sure you reflect on what you did. Were you better today than you were yesterday? And are you going to be better tomorrow than you are today? Reflect on those things. And hold yourself accountable, because Allah will hold you accountable. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in another hadith which is authentic, he said, لَا تَزُولَ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلُ عَنْ أَرْبَعٍ. He said, the servant will be standing and he will not move from his place until he's asked about four things. عَنْ عُمْرِهِ فِيمَا أَفْنَاهِ وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَاهِ. Then the Prophet ﷺ said about his age, how did he spend his time in this life? Every single moment while you're alive, Allah will ask you about it. Allah will ask you about it. Every single day, every single moment, and specifically the age in which you're young. When you're still young, there's another question about that age. Because that's a very important time. That's when you can do all of those things. That's when you have the shahawat, the desires and so forth. But you also have the energy to do all the good that you can. That's when you're strongest. How did you take advantage of that ni'mah, that blessing? Because it's more important when you're young. Because when you're old, I mean, you can't do anything anyways. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, there are three people, Allah لا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. Three people. Allah will not purify them. Allah will not speak to them. Will not purify them. And they will have a grievous punishment. Malikun كاذب. Malikun كذاب. كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. A king who's a liar. I mean, you're a leader and you're the king. You're the ruler. You have no reason to lie. Nobody is going to punish you when you tell the truth. You don't have reasons to lie because you have authority. You tell the truth. You have to tell the truth. You know, other people, if they say certain things, they might get punished for saying the truth. But who's going to punish you? You have all the authority. You have no reason to lie. And that's why the sin is even greater. وَشَيْخٌ زَانٍ. Old man who commits zina. Who commits fornication or adultery. He's old. I mean, he doesn't have the desires like the youth. Why are you going around with women like that? I mean, that's khubs. That's evil. That's just nasty. You old. You gotta be in the masjid. You can't be hanging around looking for a woman. And that's why the sin is just greater. And then, a'ilun mustakbir. A poor person who is arrogant. I mean, if you're rich and you're arrogant driving around your Hummer, like, you know, that's a different thing, right? You got money. But you poor and you think you everything. You know, like those guys, they hardly have anything. I mean, some of them, they don't even have pants that fit them. They're walking around like sagging like that in the streets, thinking they're everything. This poor guy, what you doing thinking you everything? I mean, you driving a Hummer, all right, yeah. You got nothing. Why do you think you own the world? You crossing the street, don't care about anybody thinking that you own it. A'ilun mustakbir. You poor, you arrogant. Man, Allah will not speak to you on the Day of Judgment. Will not purify you. And you have a grievous punishment. Because you have no reason to do that. And so that's why when you, as a youth, when you're alive and you're full of energy, full of strength, and you push all those desires aside, and say, La ilaha illallah, and worship Allah. Use your time wisely when you can use it in other things also. That's why the blessing is also great. And the reward is also great. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, there will be seven people who will be under the shade of Allah on the day in which there will be no shade except the shade of Allah. And he said, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. A youth who uses his time wisely in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he's full of energy and full of strength, and he uses that wisely. And so as Muslims, the life that we have been given, we have to make full use of it. And we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us long life. We should. But don't just ask Allah, Ya Allah, give me, allow me to live over 100 years of age. I mean, don't ask for that only. Don't ask for that and stop there, no. You know, our Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, some of the people would write questions and they would ask questions, may Allah prolong your life, give you long life. He would be very angry. He would be very angry. He would say, who did this? No, you don't ask like this. He said, ask Allah to prolong a person's life in the obedience of Allah. Because if you have a long life and it's in the disobedience of Allah, it's no good. It's no good. The time that you have, you have to use it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ would ask, who are the best of people? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who have given long life in the obedience of Allah. And who are the worst? Those who have been given long life in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, when a person is living in this life, everybody makes mistakes. And everyone makes mistakes. But we have to return to Allah and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we do. And this life, when we're living in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also look at how we live. But the most important time in our life, what is the most important time in our life? The most important time in our life is the end. The end. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالِ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Indeed, deeds are determined by the end. Determined by the end. And the Prophet ﷺ, يُبْعَثُ كُلُّ عَبْدٍ أَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. A person will be raised up in the condition that he died. So the end of your life is very important. The most important time is when you can say La ilaha illallah at the end. But the problem with that is, we don't know when that end is. It can come just like that. You can go out, and next thing you know, a person is, you don't return. One of the brothers, he was actually taking an Al-Maghrib course on the way back home. Just a cousin of his. He was just playing around with him. Or a relative of his, he was playing around with him. And he had just come home from, just like how we're sitting right now. And then he went home, so one of his cousins, he's driving, and he's trying to play a joke with him. So he's going directly towards him. And he's intending to swerve before he gets close to him. But guess what happened? When he swerved to the one direction, his cousin jumped in that direction. And he was hit, and his head hit the ground. And that was it. He was just barely out of secondary school. He had just come. But that was the end. Anytime, it can come at any time. And so, you have to realize that you have to try to do your best to make sure you're always in the state in which Allah is pleased with you. Because you don't know when death will come. My father, he was shot in front of the masjid. And it was after Isha prayer. He used to always clean the masjid. The bathrooms and so forth. People didn't really know who actually cleaned why, you know, the bathrooms were clean until after he passed away. Then the bathroom started to smell because nobody really took care of that. And he never cleaned the bathroom or anything like that when people were there. Before he would go to work, he would stop in the masjid and he would leave. He would clean everything up and then go. He would always look for the times that people would not see him. So nobody knew that he was doing any of these things. But he would always do that. And he was the last person to... We used to live close to the masjid, next to the masjid. And he came out and I was in the house. And I heard a gunshot, but I didn't think it was a gunshot because we have Independence Day, you know, in July. And people always have fireworks, and this was like a few days afterwards. And I'm thinking it's just that. Somebody's just burning their leftover M80s or something like that. I don't know. You know, these fireworks. I don't know if you guys have those things here or not. Is it illegal here? But anyways, they have that. They burn and you hear all these sounds. And so I hear my father calling me, Abdul Bari, somebody shot me. So I went to him. And when he saw my face, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So then I told him, when I heard that, I said, Father, I don't care who talks to you from now on. Don't say a single word. Just in your heart, you've done a lot of good. And repent to Allah. Ask Allah for forgiveness and ask for His mercy. Don't say a single word after this. And he never said anything after that. The ambulance and everybody, everything came. And then the police officer, the detective, started coming around asking me. He's asking me about what was happening and, you know, was the masjid open? And I was just walking around telling him what was happening, what the area of the masjid. And I was just speaking to him normally. Just whatever would, you know... I was a little bit saddened, but you know, I wasn't like yelling or anything like that. Just calm and speaking to him normal, just like how anyone would speak to a person. Not during that situation, but after in the morning, he asked the detective spoke to some of the other people. He spoke to one of my friends. So the detective, he said, you know, that I've never, in all the homicides and murders I've seen in my life, I've never seen somebody like him. It's amazing. So he told me, you made great da'wah. I said, well, I didn't even speak about Islam, my friend said. I didn't say anything about Islam. He said, you made great da'wah. The detective came to me and he said, in all my days, I've witnessed thousands or hundreds of crime scenes. Never seen somebody, especially related to somebody who was just murdered, like him. I even thought that he did it. That's a detective. I said, it's not humanly possible. It's not humanly possible for somebody to be in that state. You know, most people are going crazy. And so I told him, I said, let me tell you. I was sad at what was happening. But my father got something that I want. And I don't even know that I'll have that. His last words were, La ilaha illallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man kana akhiru kalamihi, La ilaha illallah, dakhal al-jannah. Whoever's last word is, La ilaha illallah, will enter paradise. I don't know on the day that I die that I'll be able to say that. I'm just hoping that I will be. And we ask Allah, and that's why the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked more than anything was, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Aisha was asked, what supplication did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say the most? And she said, and he is the messenger of Allah, the messenger of Allah, not like any one of us. And the dua that he asked more than anyone, anything else, is Ya Muqallib al-Qulub. Oh, Allah, the one who changes hearts, ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينِكَ. Make my heart firm in your religion. Make my heart firm in your obedience. And that was the dua that the Prophet ﷺ asked more than anything else. And we ourselves, every day, when you go outside, before you drive, يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِ عَلَى دِينِكَ. Because you never know if you're going to reach home when you're going home. And when you're going to school, you don't know if you're going to reach school or not. And when you go to sleep, do you know that you're going to wake up in the morning? And when you wake up in the morning, do you know that you're going to come back home? Nobody knows. Nobody can guarantee that. It can come at any time. But what you want is whenever it comes, ask yourself, are you ready? You might not have time to return, because a lot of people, they say, inshallah, after I get married, I'll be good. Inshallah, after I make hajj, then I'll be good. Inshallah, after I graduate, then I'll be good. Inshallah, after I retire, then I'll be good. Inshallah, I'll start going to the masjid after I pay my mortgage off. This and that, all kinds of things. But you know what? I want you to read the Quran. And I want you to read when Allah speaks about the people of the hellfire, I want you to look and see the reasons. And you'll find one